Hey there, it's Friday and it's Ed Said, the podcast that accompanies Ed Says, 10 to noon on the Talk of Connecticut. I try to give you exclusive content at the beginning of every podcast, and by exclusive content, I mean me just rambling for a few minutes about whatever is on the top of my head. And I really have nothing for today. It's Friday, I'm ready to get out of the office, I'm ready to get home and get my weekend started, but I just watched a clip of Greg Giraldo and Dennis Leary going back and forth on Tough Crowd with Colin Quinn from a few years ago. And if you missed that show, even though it was on Comedy Central, it was great. And it was, whether I knew it or not, I guess, was an influence on what I do because I want to have conversation. All too often, radio show hosts that are popular these days want to have people that agree with them and will shut down people that disagree with them. There are certain rules when it comes to calling into radio shows that you must abide by. You have to say your name and where you're from. That's just common courtesy. But oftentimes the hosts will ban people or keep them from calling a certain number of times, or once they're hung up, the call's over. And I don't necessarily adhere to all those rules for a few reasons. If you disagree with me and you want to call in and take time out of your day to disagree with me, great. If you disagree with me and you've never called before, I find that more interesting because we've actually touched on something that interests you enough that you were motivated to call. My phone lines are always open and I encourage everyone to always take part. And it's not an empty encouragement. It's a legitimate encouragement. When I say I want to hear from people, I do, because everybody has different perspectives and experiences. And I think bringing those together makes everyone better, sharing those experiences, sharing those thoughts and ideas. I am just of the belief that that is better. Sitting in a circle with people who agree with you 100% on everything and creating an echo chamber, is nothing creative about that. There's nothing challenging about that. And maybe because I've always wanted to play devil's advocate. I always enjoyed getting a rise out of people, particularly when I was younger and probably a little more jerky. Now I think I'm a little more relaxed and a little more open, and I do it less to get a reaction and more to foster a conversation, but I definitely ended up here for a reason. But going back to the Tough Crowd and how Dennis Leary went on the show thinking, oh yeah, you just talk and make jokes, whereas Giraldo came prepared not only with jokes but with information. And it's from so many years ago, it wasn't even in high def, but it was such a great show. And that exchange, even at the end when interviewed about it, Dennis Leary admitted that he looked like, in his words, a douchebag. And he did, because in the conversations we have around the dinner table, the water cooler, or when we're arguing on the air or whenever, you have to be informed. That's what prepared is, knowing what you're going to talk about. How you feel about something is one thing, but knowing the facts should influence that. And that's just kind of, if I had a mission statement, that'd be one of those things where facts matter. Facts and feelings are two different things, and you can't legislate on feelings. You have to legislate on facts and laws. So take that rant for what you will. It's just kind of how I feel about everything. And again, I encourage you, if you want to take part, maybe you'll make this podcast. Here you go. It's Friday. I'm leaving. Enjoy Ed Said.
Last night, I decided to log in and tweet and check things out. I'm not that active on Twitter. I'm active enough. I wouldn't even call me a moderate user. I'd say a light user. It's a good way to let people know what's going on the show, and sometimes I'll voice my opinion. But most of the time I feel that this outlet is enough. Now, there are those in this industry who would yell at me and say, no, you got to use every social media outlet. You got to be out there all the time. Yada, yada, yada. I don't subscribe to that. If people want to know what's going on with this show, they can tune in and poke in on the Twitter here or there, or go to the website. I don't need to be on every outlet. But last night I decided to check out Twitter and see what was happening, and stumbled upon a series of exchanges between officials in our state. And I was disappointed. I've talked about how we need to expect better and we need to ask for better. And it pretty much was back and forth nonsense. Those involved were the executive director of the Dems, Michael Mandel, J.R. Romano, who is the chairman of the Republican Party here in Connecticut. Tim Herbst, first election from the town of Trumbull. Mayor Mark Boughton from Danbury. There was back and forth going on between all of them about a variety of subjects. And I just tweeted at the four of them saying, have you run out of real work to do? You bicker more than my parents. Because as a resident and as a voter, it kills me that this is what it has come to. Bickering back and forth on the internet. Sniping at each other with smart comments. Some might say snarky comments. Witty retorts. Repetition of the bravado we hear in press releases and when talking to reporters. I saw mention of, you know, a couple fries short of a Happy Meal in a tweet, which we had already heard when talking to reporters from Herbst. It's just silly, and it's nonsense. And I expect better from grown-ass men who are in positions of authority. I expect more from adults. I expect more. And when I see them behaving like teenagers, it bothers me. Is social media a legitimate outlet for discussion and communication? Yes. But it should be treated just like any other outlet of communication and discussion. And it should be regarded with respect to your position. So I got two replies, one from Mayor Mark, who is probably the most active Connecticut politician on Twitter. And his first reply to my haven't you got better things to do, he says, mess with the bull, you get the horns. Which again is a reference. It's a movie reference. Great. It's from Breakfast Club. Love that movie. But it's not an answer. I told him, I love a good flame war as well. I used to love getting in arguments on the internet. It was a blast. But the thing is, I've grown up. I was much younger then. I said, I hope for more. Be leaders. Set an example. Get things done. It ain't hard. He essentially replied with, thanks for the thoughts. And I said, I hope they don't fall on deaf ears. Then Michael Mandel tweeted back saying, agreed. Let's focus on policies, and if we have disagreements, let's have them on substance and fact. And I told him, it takes two to tango. Someone will have to show leadership and rise above the nonsense. Looking at these feeds, no one seems willing. And it couldn't be more true. There is a level, I guess, of celebrity that comes with these politicians, and it has overcome their responsibility, in my opinion. They are positions to be respected, but I've said multiple times that the word respect is overused, and respect is not automatically given. It is also earned and can be lost. And when I see behavior like this, it is diminished. Get something done. We don't send you or elect you to raise your profile, to be cool, to win fake internet points. We send you and elect you to serve us. So get over yourselves, get over your egos, get over the number of followers you have, get over the press you get from your cute comments, and get something done. Joining the show now, global security specialist Robert Caltabiano. Good morning, Robert. How are you?
All right, Ed. How are you?
Not too bad. We have the story out of New York with the connection to New Jersey with the bombing attack. What is that doing when it comes to screening immigrants in this country?
I think what it's doing is shedding light on our process and the faults and the goodness of it. You know, there's a little bit of both, Ed, and I think something like what you're doing and talking about it is the beginning of what we need as a nation to get this going again.
Now, as I understand it, it's a two-year process, is it not? Or is that just for refugees?
Well, it depends on what you're looking at. It's a two-year process at times. It depends on the backlog of the system. You know, I am, Ed, so thankful that we live in a country that people want to come here. But just imagine everybody listening right now, imagine if we lived in a place where we had a wall, but that wall was there to keep you in. And so if a lot of us remember the Berlin Wall, that was there to keep people in. So people are coming here. Why are they coming here? They're coming here for the pursuit of freedom, the pursuit of happiness. And so with that, but we have to keep up with the times, and we have to keep up with technology. And that's where two of them are right now unbalanced.
So let's look at the focus here is that the guy who planted the bombs was born in Afghanistan, became a UF citizen, and the process screening is coming under scrutiny for his actions. But isn't he one amongst millions?
I don't know about millions, but obviously he's one amongst many that are here, whether you're born here or whether you've come here legally. That may want to do harm. And I give the case in point, look at Timothy McVeigh and what he did. He was born here. He didn't look like this thug that just did the bombings in New York, yet we sometimes forget about the way people look. Terror doesn't have a certain look.
Right. And so it can become, it can be homegrown. And I think that's my concern when we start talking about, because you mentioned, you know, that is America. Bring me your poor, tired, huddled masses, and people see us as a beacon of hope. And if we start restricting that, you know, I don't know how much more we can do, because you can never know what's in someone's heart.
Absolutely. And but we're also a country of laws. And I think the laws that we have on the books right now, when actually used, work. Unfortunately, sometimes they're not being used. And I can tell you, I have a lot of friends in the Border Patrol. Those men and women are working around the clock, doing the best job that they can. Yet you have to remember, people are coming here. Why? Because of the freedoms that we have. The people are not leaving this country. And so we also have to give the resources to law enforcement. You know, the FBI, the local police departments are working tirelessly around the clock. Yet at times we play catch up. And so I think it's really important for your listeners and the American citizens here, whether you're born here or whether you came here, to do something. And, you know, just imagine, Ed, if somebody would have said something about this guy, besides his father who said something, when he was making these bombs, and there was more than one, just maybe he could have been stopped before he did it.
Right, but if he can't, if nobody knows, if nobody sees him, if he's operating in secret, theoretically, and this is completely theoretically, lest anyone be listening that would want to report me, I'm born in the United States to parents born in the United States. I am a U.S. citizen. If, for whatever reason, I wanted to do harm to people, it would be very easy for me to do so. I could purchase a pressure cooker, because nobody would suspect me. They think I was just going to make something in said pressure cooker. If I went to another location to purchase a second, nobody would notice. I could probably hide it from my wife, just because I'm tinkering in the basement. So while I understand the need for security, again, it's, you'll never know what's in someone's heart. And that is the disadvantage law enforcement and we as citizens are at by living in a free society, that those who want to do harm, and they come in all shapes, color, and sizes, and they do it in different ways, they'll always have the advantage.
Well, and they have the advantage because when you think about it, we've given up in many, many ways. Look at what you just said about this thug in New York. Now take that a step further and look at what has happened in North Carolina. There are no bombs. There is nothing except a human being wanting to cause damage, taking it away from what they lawfully could have talked about. Look at what they've destroyed. And it's not going to stop until we realize that we've had enough and that we have to do something about it. And getting back to the thug in New York or San Bernardino, somebody had to know something. Okay, you cannot, in my mind, imagine, I cannot imagine somebody putting together that many devices, that many bombs, if somebody didn't know something was going on. Look at the people in San Diego. Somebody thought something was wrong, but they were afraid to speak up. And I think what you're doing about talking about it, it's time to speak about it, but then do something else about it. I'd rather err on the side of caution than to sit back and do nothing.
Well, again, but more to my point is that there are times when things can happen. Look at John Wayne Gacy. People thought he was an upstanding citizen in the community. And how many people, how many young men did he kill and bury under his house? I think you can operate in secret, especially if you are that type of individual. And if you're an introvert who people don't maybe pay attention to begin with. Except in Gacy's case, he was exuberant. He was an extrovert, and people still didn't suspect him of it. So I think you can get away with these things. But with that said, what do you think we can do? You say there are laws that aren't used, that they're failing us. What can we do in order to potentially prevent this?
I don't say the laws are failing us. I look at it as sometimes we're not executing the laws in the proper way. And that goes back on government, but it also goes back on the individuals and the responsibility that we have. I believe that we have a responsibility as citizens, as Americans, to get involved again and to do something. And it may be just seeing something. But again, if we don't do anything, if we keep doing what we're doing, we're going to keep getting what we're getting. And for me, I'm getting tired of watching the discourse in this country of people fighting people each and every day. You know, I'm old enough to remember what went back on in the 60s and in the 70s. And I don't want to relive that again. I don't want that for our children. And the only way we're going to change that is by changing our vision of what we see and by doing something about it. You know, a person of vision plans for the future. A person that lacks vision just lives each day as it comes. And we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. But wouldn't it be wonderful that if we start the conversation now and get involved, that we may have a chance to change what tomorrow can be?
Well, I just think that when you're talking about things like that, there are some people who don't look towards the future because there are some people that feel there is no future. Or there are people that are promised that their future is on the other side. And if what they do for whatever God they chose gets them there, then all the better. So I hope we can find solutions that don't degrade the integrity of what this nation was built on. And I think a lot of people are using, Rubio in particular, using this as an opportunity to cash in politically. Because, again, when it comes to this one guy, or even San Bernardino, you're talking about individuals amongst hundreds of thousands or millions, depending on which population you want to put them in. And it all comes down to individuals. Every individual who commits evil is responsible for themselves, whatever flag it's under. And I just hope that we don't see an erosion of what makes America America and our rights, like we did after 9/11, specifically, in my opinion, with the Patriot Act.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more in that way. You know, we were founded on freedom. But, you know, the pursuit of freedom is in our declaration, in our papers, our incorporating papers. Yet, you know, the pursuit of freedom is courage. And our country was built on courage. So you got to be courageous, though, in your actions and in your thoughts. And yeah, we have terrible people here. Let's call it the way it is. There are some that are evil and they want to do harm. And the only way you're going to counteract evil is by seeing through it and being courageous again and being that beacon, that city on the shining hill. We can all do that, but we have to be able to make a decision and do something about that.
Robert,
I appreciate what you're doing and getting that word out to talk to people about this.
Robert, I appreciate you calling in. Robert Caltabiano, Global Security Specialist.